The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 11, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 10th, 2008, in Taveuni, Fiji.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 11. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Tadvagvasargo janatanga viplavo. Tadvagvasargo janatanga viplavo. Yasmin pratishlokam abhajya vajyapi. Yasmin pratishlokam abhajya vajyapi. Namanyanantasya yashon kyaniyat. Namanyanantasya yashon kyaniyat. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti sarava. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti sarava. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who were thoroughly honest. Purport. It is the qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, the people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple, and there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two nations, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation, and certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on slight provocation. This is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good, as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. You see, Prabhupada is blaming India for the problems of the world because they have failed to do their duty. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature, conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere, is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail, and there will be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all of our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of the society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. This is an amazing prediction. Prabhupada is actually predicting that the leaders of the world will take this message of the Bhagavatam. When there is a fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors, who may be foreigners, and yet without knowing the language. The victims of the fire express themselves and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general all over the world, there is no wonder that a person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of quarrel or Kali. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption of all description, and everyone knows it well. There are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. In many countries, there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the public want such literature, yet it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. The people in general want to read, that is a natural instinct, but because their minds are polluted, they want such literatures. Under the circumstances, transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also it will supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. In the beginning, they may not like it, because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy. But we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing the reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures which are catering poison to society will then automatically cease. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by Sri Narada, who has kindly appeared in this chapter. Vandeham. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Barakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, even if there are so many flaws in the presentation, because it is meant for bringing about a revolution to re-spiritualize the human society, therefore, those men who are honest, they will accept. What a wonderful garland. This is Fiji. This is so nice. You've made so nice, garland. Who has made? Manaji, you made? Both. Two of them together made? This is so wonderful garland they have made. Oh, so beautiful. Such love they have made. This is revolutionary garland. This is one of my all-time favorite verses of the Bhagavatam. Because on the one hand, it talks about making a revolution. That's why I joined this movement, actually. I was a youth back in the 60s, looking out at the world and thinking, this place needs to be revolutionized. I mean, this is no good. Something has to be done, you know. The only life I could think of that was worth living was a revolutionary life, you know, to bring about a spiritual revolution on this planet. But I didn't know how to do that. In the beginning, I thought that by writing songs and singing them and performing them, you know, I could do them. So I tried that for a couple of years and it didn't work. There was no revolution. No revolution within my heart and no revolution in the world. But then I saw that Prabhupada is already doing it. He, instead of concocting something, he was bringing the message of these great acharyas, you see, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. I saw somebody who was actually successfully revolutionizing this planet. So I thought, all right, and my attempt failed to make a spiritual revolution. Now I'll serve that person who knows how to do it right. And assist him in bringing this revolution on the planet. So this verse has always had a very special appeal for me from the very beginning. Because I joined this movement because I wanted to be a part of a revolution that would go down in history for having saved the world from its darkest hour. You see. So therefore, since I joined in that spirit of wanting to make a revolution, I've always kept that spirit. The real meaning of our movement is to completely change the world, you see. Not just that we have some nice programs in amongst ourselves, chant and be happy and go back to Godhead. That's not the full thing. That's certainly part of it. Chant and be happy and go back to Godhead. But at the same time, we are meant to bring about a revolution on this planet. We have to be thinking that. And Prabhupada has confirmed it again and again and again. He told us in Mumbai, He said, now the world is being managed by rogues and demons. He said, you make your life successful and you take the management. Prabhupada actually wants us to be the leaders of this planet, you see. These unenlightened fools who are simply in it for their own sense gratification, you see, they are not qualified to lead. What is their qualification? By hook or by crook, they get some post so they can take as much money as they can. You see, everyone knows these governments, they're so corrupt. The people, just by hook or by crook, with all these false promises of helping the citizens, they simply get themselves into power and they take advantage for their own sense gratification, that's all. They are not the well-wishers of the human society. They are simply interested in their own self-aggrandizement. So now, for the first time, in the form of Srila Prabhupada, you see, we see a person who is actually qualified to lead the world out of chaos, who doesn't have any motive for his own sense gratification. Even so many other spiritual masters, you know, I met so many other gurus. None of them were of that caliber of Srila Prabhupada. There was always some defect. I went to one, I actually went to his disciple, and he initiated me. I had to pay a fee for diksha, the equivalent of 1 month's rent I paid for my diksha. And they gave me a mantra that was supposed to bring happiness and enlightenment. It didn't work. It was completely bogus. I was cheated out of 1 month's rent. There was no money back guarantee. You see. So this is the world. There's bogus gurus, there's bogus rabbis. All these people, they're all materially motivated. From the top all the way down to the bottom. Every rung of the social ladder, the leaders are selfish. They're not selfless servants. They're selfish. Therefore, nobody's happy. Everybody is simply running after sense gratification because they are rooted to the false conception of the self, I am this body. So, there's two purposes for my life, you see. One purpose is to become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead. The other purpose is to bring about a revolution. Whatever I can do to be a part of bringing about the most powerful, potent way, whatever I can possibly do to revolutionize this planet while I'm here. That's the mood, the proper mood to be in. Of course, one should never feel qualified. Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami says, I'm trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, although I'm completely unfit to do so. And Prabhupada says that should be the mood of every preacher of this Krishna consciousness movement. You see, that he is unqualified to preach, but he is trying to be an instrument for the previous acharyas. So actually, if we're going to have any potency for pushing on this movement, we cannot think, oh yes, I am a qualified preacher, I am great. That will be the end to one's successful preaching. If one thinks that he's actually qualified to be a preacher. But what we pray for instead is that the previous acharyas can use us as an instrument for bringing about the re-spiritualization of the human society. That we can aspire. That may I be instrumental for the previous acharyas to do something to bring about a revolution on this planet, because this is the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. So each and every one of us should be thinking, how can I live my life in a way that will actually bring about a revolution on this planet? How can I be an ideal? And what does that mean? It means we have to be an ideal example of Krishna consciousness. If we are compromising Krishna consciousness with some idea of material sense gratification, that will not be an ideal example. We have to become 100% pure, living examples of what it means to be purely engaged in Krishna consciousness. As soon as we do that, then automatically we'll have a revolutionary impact on this planet. As I was explaining the other day, Prabhupada confirms this. That if one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, then by that the influence of that devotee, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. So each and every one of us should strive to become pure like that, so that we can have a revolutionary impact on this planet. That's our duty. A Vaishnava is not simply thinking of his own liberation. A Vaishnava is constantly thinking and meditating on how he can live his life in such a way that all the living entities throughout this material existence can be delivered back home, back to God. And he is not simply thinking of himself and his family members. He is seeing the whole world as his family, and he's feeling very, very bad to see that everyone is caught up in material sense gratification. It's horrible what the leaders are doing. It's absolutely horrible the mess they have created on this planet. And there's so many people who talk about, you know, starting this movement and that movement, this cause and that cause to bring up the, make social and political change to make the world a better place, but it's all ridiculous. It's based on foolish sentiments only. You see? It's foolish sentiments. Some people think, well, if we can stop abortion, that will make the world a better place, you see. The anti-abortion. Then you have the pro-abortion movement. If we can educate all women to get abortions, they're thinking, well, there's not enough women who know that they should get abortions. So we have to educate all the women and give facility that every woman on this planet can easily get an abortion whenever she wants it. And that will solve the problems of the world, you see. And one group is thinking one thing, and everybody thinks they're right, you see, but it's all based on a false conception of I'm the body. It's like on the internet, there's one domain called care2.com. It's a place for people who care, who think they care about the benefit of the world. And so this site facilitates, you can form different groups. There's the pro-abortion group, the anti-abortion group, you know, the anti-global warming people. They have thousands of groups. There's 7 million people signed up in this domain. So there's so many different, they have thousands of groups, you see. But they're all based on some imperfect knowledge and not doing anything. But one lady, she wanted to form a group, Sankarshan Das Adhikari group, the people that become my followers. She wanted to, that was, she thought I was a good cause. So she formed a group in my name and tries to convince people they should become my followers. And so one lady who joined the Sankarshan Das Adhikari group on this domain, she wrote me. She wasn't satisfied. She was a part of this cause, a part of that cause. She was trying to, but she felt he wasn't going anywhere. I said, forget all these other causes. Simply Krishna consciousness, you see. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. You see, all of their different causes that they have, they're just, you know, they're just watering one leaf or watering one branch. So they're always missing it. They're always missing out on the point. But when you water the root of the tree, you're a farmer, you know. When you water the root of the tree, then the whole tree becomes nourished, you see. Or just like everybody here eats. You eat, don't you? Yes, you eat. You also eat, yes. So when you eat, where do you put the food? You send it to your belly through the mouth, you see. Your hand needs nutrition also, doesn't it? So do you just squash the gulab jamun in your fingers? No. You take that hand, you also eat. Do you simply squash the food in your fingers? No. You take the hand, you engage in the service of the belly. You see. By feeding the belly, then the whole body becomes nourished. That's a fact. Isn't it? You also eat. Yes. And you also feed the belly, everyone. Even Mataji. She also feeds the belly. You see. Even though she's a great transcendentalist, she also eats. So, that's the analogy, you see. And this lady actually appreciated, yes, now I will give up all these other causes and I will just Krishna consciousness only. If she can understand what it means to practice it, that'll be another thing. But at least theoretically, she has gotten the right idea, you see. That by taking the Krishna consciousness, then you become the best in all fields of activities. You do the best thing for global warming. You do the best thing for overpopulation. You know, whatever the problem may be. Actually, Prabhupada said there's no question of overpopulation. He said we can easily maintain 10 times the world present world population on this planet. It's mismanagement, you see. We say overpopulation because people are crowded in these cities, these horrible nightmare cities with millions of people. You see, like in how many in Tokyo? 10 million?
More than 20.
20? Oh, more than 20 million, you see. I heard they have air machines in downtown. No one had thought there would be, you would get bottled water, you see. Back in the 50s, no one dreamed that you would buy water. You just get it from the tap. But now bottled water is everywhere. Especially Fiji water now is very popular all over the world. You go to the grocery store in Texas, now they have Fiji water. You see. So bottled, but the next thing that's coming is bottled air. Now we think, well, air is free. It just, you see? But the next thing coming is everybody be getting bottled air. It's happening in Tokyo. So they have, I've heard it, I haven't seen, but they have a little air machine. Where you can, if you're having a hard time breathing, you just stop and put your money in and get some air to breathe. Some clean air, pure air to breathe, you see?
You can feel it in Tavini.
Taviyuni?
We can fill it here.
Oh, fill it here. Taviyuni air. And business.
Fiji water.
Taviyuni air. And market it to the world. Taviyuni air. You see. So, the world is going so crazy, you know. Actually, they have salons where you can go in and get oxygen salons. You get pure oxygen. You heard? I saw it. You can go on the internet, just type it in, oxygen salon. You can go and get pure oxygen to really get energized, you know. They have them. In California also they have them now. In Tokyo they have them too. So, you know, things have gotten so out of hand. People are going so crazy. So as I wrote in today's thought for the day, enough is enough. Yesterday I composed it on the way bouncing along the road, struggling. But I was inspired by that bouncing truck to say, enough is enough. Things have gotten too far out of hand. It's time now for a revolution on this planet. You see, it's time to do something. We have to put a stop to this nonsense, which is based on selfishness, greed, lust, anger. We have to put a stop to it. Now the time has come that we have to, instead of trying to be God, which is the problem, you see, really, if you want to boil it down to philosophically boil it down to the quintessence of what it actually is. It's all based on, we're all trying to play. I'm trying to be God, you're trying to be God, we're all trying to be God, and that means I'm the center of the universe, I'm the center of enjoyment. If something is good, if it pleases me. If it doesn't please me, it's bad. You see? That's what it's based on. The modern day misdirected society is based on the false conception of each individual that I am God, you see. So that revolution in consciousness, which is desperately needed now more than ever on this planet, is to come back to the position of understanding that I'm the servant of God, I'm not God. You see, that's the revolution that has to be pushed forward. It's an educational movement, a revolutionary educational movement to educate everybody that you are not God. You are the servant of God. And only by serving the Lord can you be happy, and only by serving the Lord can the world become peaceful and happy. So that's what we have to do. That is the revolution. We have to work cooperatively. This Prabhupada is the general and we are the members of the army, you see. Prabhupada's army. We are meant to bring about a revolution on this planet just simply by obeying Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, in 18 days, I can make the whole world Krishna conscious if you'll just cooperate with me. You see? All we really have to do is just completely line ourselves up with Prabhupada. Completely. Do everything in the way that Prabhupada would be pleased with us, you see. And then we can, in 18 days, we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. You may say, but how is it possible? But I say that Prabhupada said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute, but what you will do with it. See, that's the problem. We're not qualified to lead the world. That's the problem. I can guarantee you, when we are actually qualified, spiritually qualified to lead this planet, they'll come to us. How should we rule our countries? How should we rule our... How should society be set up in such a way that Prabhupada will be pleased with us, you see? We're not fully qualified. We spend too much energy fighting amongst ourselves, you see. That's the problem. It's too much energy fighting amongst ourselves. We have to become living embodiments of the Bhagavatam. That our every word, our every thought, our every deed in all times, places, and circumstances is purely representing Srila Vyasadeva. That's what we require. That we require. When we come to that consciousness, then we will lead the world. Prabhupada says they will actually come. This is a wonderful prediction. He's actually predicting you. We are sure that with all of our faults in this connection, that gives me hope because I know that I'm full of so many faults. It's like one time you pointed out in the email, sometimes there's typos and, you know, mistakes in my email. And I quoted this verse for you, you see. So sometimes there are mistakes in the presentation. I may make a grammatical mistake. I may say the wrong word, you see. But one has to see the intent. Prabhupada is saying here that with all of our faults in this connection, the seriousness, we are sure that the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration. And the leaders of the society will still accept this. So Prabhupada is predicting. Of course, that doesn't mean license. Oh, it doesn't. I can just go on not to worry about correcting my faults. That's not license. We have to strive diligently to correct our faults. Our tendency to make mistakes. But we should know that this if we continue preaching Krishna consciousness, there will be a transform. That day will come when the world will become transformed. It will be accepted. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
I have seen many people who had joined Krishna consciousness movement because of this spirit of revolution. Mm-hmm. They wanted to change this world, but not seeing particular results, so they got disappointed.
Right.
My question is how to avoid this feeling of disappointment if we can't see results we desired.
Right. Well, in the 60s and the early 70s, it was easy to be excited about it because we were seeing the results in North America. It was phenomenal. And in the early days in Europe also, it was very big. Devotees were taking all risks, you know, secretly printing books under the noses of the communist regime. And there was incredible things happening, very revolutionary things happening, sociologically, politically. There was big things. So what do you do now when, you know, we moved, that revolutionary phase happened, and now we're kind of settling in the thing, everybody's, you know, those days people were just living in the temples, sleeping on the floor, distributing books, preaching, and things were exploding like anything. And now, you know, people are working jobs, and it's just like, you know, your Sunday go to meet in church, you know. It's become more like that in of a mood. So how do we get that, how do we get back that vision, or how those people who've lost the vision get that vision? That's a real, that I think is, I think you've really brought a very important point forward. And this is the greatest challenge that faces our movement right now. We've lost the revolutionary vision as a society in many, many ways. We've lost it. We've lost it. So how to get it back? That's why I feel this verse of Krishna Das Kaviraj is very, very important. Sat jana dar jana pan gu jada anagana prema van yayubdu laiva jagatara jana. This Krishna consciousness movement is a tidal wave of prema. And it will inundate this entire universe and drown everyone, whether they are pious, impious, lame, invalid, or blind. I think we have to find the visionary statements in Prabhupada's books, and we have to preach those. That's one thing we can do. We have ourselves, we have to be convinced. That's the first thing. If you want others to be convinced of the revolutionary nature, the revolutionary potential, the revolutionary quality of this Krishna consciousness movement, then the first thing is you be convinced. If you actually, if I have conviction, then I can impart that conviction to others, you see. That's how it works. It's like I've hundreds of times given the example of Prabhupada convincing us that God was a little blue cowherd boy. In the Western world, who in their right mind would think, oh, God is a little blue cowherd boy? You see, doesn't fit into the Western paradigm. Our vision of God was an old man with a beard. You know, maybe needed a hearing aid, you know. Pretty bad shape. And that was God. So now Prabhupada has come with a very revolutionary concept that God is a little blue cowherd boy who stands on the bank of the river Jamuna blowing the fifth nut on his flute in the full moon night of the Shard season wearing a yellow silk dhoti. That's God. Now, how did Prabhupada convince us? Did he bribe us like the Christian missionaries coming to India and bribing the villagers to convert? No. Because Prabhupada's conviction, he was solid in his conviction, unflinching faith, you see. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite ketitarhyata prakashante mahatmanaha. Because Prabhupada had unflinching faith in the words of Krishna and Guru, therefore he had full realization of the Vedic wisdom, you see. So, that really boils down to that. If your conviction is very strong, that yes, this is the absolute truth, if your conviction is strong, then you will, Krishna will bless you with a very deep, profound realization of the Vedic wisdom, the Vedic philosophy. You will come to a very deep, very, very profound realization of the Vedic philosophy. If your faith is very strong. And once you're in that position, if you can, if they'll listen to you, you can convince them. If somebody doesn't want to hear, you can't do anything. The trick is to somehow get them to hear, you know. That's why prasadam is very good. It's the softener, you know, softens them up. Nice prasadam, nice kirtan. Get them all enlivened and then preach very strongly and with great conviction about the revolutionary qualities of Krishna consciousness movement. Because actually that's an exciting thing. I remember back in the 60s, everybody wanted to be a part of a movement that would save the world. That's the whole hippie movement. Everybody was thinking, maybe not everyone, but so many people were thinking, I want to be a part of something that's going to save the world. That was a very common thing in the youth. And many of those people, the most sincere of the lot, they joined Prabhupada's movement. Because they could see that this is the movement which is actually going to save the world. This is the person who has the vision, who has the purity, who has the potency to bring about the complete re-spiritualization of the human society, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If you will have complete faith in Prabhupada's potency, Prabhupada will bless you with the ability to convince others of the potency of Prabhupada. Anybody who believes in the potency of Prabhupada must believe in the potency of this movement. Because this movement and Srila Prabhupada are non-different. Now, if they're not seeing that, it just means that we're not really the Hare Krishna movement completely. We just have to really get back to being the Hare Krishna movement. It means we become a little bit sidetracked a little here and there. That's how we lose our potency. We get sidetracked. But if we can actually just be who we are, the Hare Krishna movement, you see, and not try to be anything else other than what Prabhupada envisioned, if we can just stick to Prabhupada's vision, I guarantee you, this movement will revolutionize this planet very quickly. If we just get back to really lining up with Prabhupada's vision. So, are there any other questions? That was an excellent question.
Guru Maharaj, does it mean that instead of talking about how imperfect are other people, we should more think about, are we qualified enough to...
Both things are there. You can't say it's wrong. Sometimes people go to the extreme and say, well, we really can't call them karmis because, you know, everybody's part and parcel of Krishna. That's going too far. There has to be a proper balance. And we think it's just, the only real problem is our impurities, and that's also a wrong vision. It is wrong that they're slaughtering the cow. It is wrong that they're slaughtering the babies by abortion. It's a matter of proper balance. The Bhagavatam certainly criticizes the non-devotees, and rightfully so. And it's very, those things should, it's not that whatever style Prabhupada has shown in his preaching, that's perfect. You just have to study how Prabhupada is writing his books. That's how to preach. Follow the same mood of Prabhupada, and then you'll be right on the track. Carefully read the Bhaktivedanta purports, and you will be, and represent that in your own preaching. You see? And then you'll become a powerful preacher. You'll have a big impact. That's a fact. So on the one hand, yes, if we can simply become pure. But that doesn't mean that we're the only ones at fault. We are at fault. There's no doubt. But they are also, they're more at fault than we are. That's also there. Our faults are minuscule compared to their faults. But if we become proud of our position, that is a fault. Should never think, a preacher never thinks I am great. You see. If he does, he's not a preacher. The only person who's actually potent for preaching is a person who has complete humility. We saw that in Prayer Prabhupada. He was talking at Stockholm, at a university in Stockholm, Sweden, yes, about the different social orders, as the Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The first class man is the Brahmin. Prabhupada is explaining. So one student, he was very critical. He said, so you think you're first class? He was criticizing. A silent bell is good. Tamal Krishna Goswami used to do that. When he was giving lecture, they couldn't ring the bell. It had to be silent. Bell by meditation. So, One student challenged Prabhupada. Oh, you think you're a first class man? He was attacking Prabhupada. Oh, you think you're first class? You're the first class man. Prabhupada said, I am fifth class because my position is to serve everyone else. That was Prabhupada's answer, you see. So that has to be the move. One presents the philosophy. Yes, there's everything as it is. You don't compromise the philosophy. But you always keep yourself in the mood that I'm simply the humble servant. That's the formula. Always keep it, I'm the humble servant. Present it as it is, don't change it, don't water it down, but always simply think you're the humble servant of everyone else. That's the formula. It's called compassion, it's called love, it's called caring about that person's deliverance from the cycle of birth and death. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other question?
My question was this, that people are so much caught up that they are thinking they are advancing, and all their so-called advancement is polluting everything, and how come they be thinking that they are advancing, making this advancement?
Well, their conception of advancement is based on modern technology. Well, they think, well, now we have, you know, we had video camera, and now we have high density, high resolution video camera. So they think now we are very advanced.
I'm talking about material, not the spiritual advancement.
That's material, video camera.
So even in material way, they are doing so many things, going down, and still they are thinking, how can they be thinking that they are... Now the air is so polluted that they have to go get the oxygen. So how they can think they are making advancement in even material civilization?
Well, they think that, well, there may be a few drawbacks to our modern advanced technology, but we'll solve all of them. And we'll create heaven on earth, you see.
Putting the oxygen?
No, they think, well, that's a temporary measure until we figure out a way to purify, make a purifier that will purify the whole... We'll come up with some technology to purify all the air throughout the whole planet. But in the meantime, we'll sell you bottled air, you see. Until we figure out how to purify all the air, you see.
When we have the pure air, we pollute it, and then we're going to purify it. How is that the advancement? When we have the pure air, then we pollute it, and then we try to say we're going to purify in the future. How is that advancement?
No, because we'll have better air in the future, you see. Just like now, we have automobiles that pollute the atmosphere. But in the future, we will design automobiles that don't pollute the atmosphere.
But the air is already pure, first thing. You are polluting it.
Yeah, but there's some problems. They'll admit, yes, there are some problems, but we will solve them. Just like before, previously, if you wanted to go from India to America, you had to get on a sailboat, you see, and just sail across. It took months and months and months. And now, within 24 hours, you could be in India. So just see how we advance.
Yeah,
so there's a slight problem, and that's, you know, we're polluting the air, but we'll solve that problem, you see.
Why not that solve the problem right in the beginning, if they are advanced? Why to create the problem?
Well, we are advanced. That's how come we can get to India in 24 hours instead of, you know, 24 months.
They say they advance in solving the problem.
Yeah.
They think they advance in solving the problem.
They are advancing in making the problem.
It's the deluding potency of Maya. You'll never convince them that they haven't advanced. They'll think, yeah, our advancement is imperfect. But we will advance more to the point of making our advancement perfect. That will be the perfection of our advancement.
If the advancement is there, then there should not be any imperfection, which is the real thing.
No, they admit there's some imperfection in their advancement.
There is no advancement.
They call it a side effect of advancement.
Yeah.
This is a side. We have gone more, but there's some little problem here. The side effect only.
But we'll solve all the problems.
But it's already there, so where is the advancement? My question is that.
The advancement is you can,
but
you can get to India in 24 hours.
But you are making it dirty. So where is the advancement?
It's like you are taking some medicine. We knowingly know that there is some side effect. But we think the major problem is solved. So this side effect.
That's right. It's just a side effect. But we'll improve our technology to get rid of the side effects in the future.
We can have the medicine for the side effects.
Just give us $1 million grant.
And you create more, and the more people are dying. But no.
We'll solve that problem.
When?
We will bring immortality eventually.
Huh? After many people die.
Well, that's what can you do? But the technology is coming now.
The scientists are promising us
that whatever you do now, just take vitamins and stay in good health, because within a few years they will find out a way to make you immortal. So just hang in there somehow or other a few more years. I saw an article.
Yeah, I know. But why you pollute the vegetables? Then you have
No, we're coming with better ones.
Where? With the nitrogen in it?
No, what's it called? Biogenetic engineering, you see.
But what about nitrogen? Which is killing the people. Which has been, in many decades, has been killing the people.
There's a side effect of mass production.
But now we're going to find out a way to do organic farming, mass organic farming, you see.
No, you're going
to... We admit that the non-organic, chemical-based fertilizers were bad for the health. So now we're going to find a way to make organic farming more widespread, that everybody can have organic food.
Why don't you admit that you're going to just, in your advancement, in your so-called advancement, you're just ripping the people off and sucking their blood?
Oh, no, we'll never admit that.
That's what is happening.
We'll never admit that, because then they won't give us our $1 million grants every year for our, for my second house.
That's my point.
In the South Pacific, my Rolls Royce, I'll lose all my perks of being a, advanced scientist. Or a big politician.
If these scientists can take the form of the vulture and then be real vultures.
Ah? Huh? What's that?
Take the form of real vultures and be like vultures. Vultures.
Vultures.
Vultures in the next life.
Yes.
Be honest.
Be an honest vulture?
Yeah.
Even vultures have their place in the society, isn't it? Equal rights?
Yeah, equal rights.
Vulture rights.
Yeah, they can have their vulture rights. And be honest that they are polluting and not making advancement.
Actually, this Krishna consciousness is the solution for the pollution. You see, the Krishna consciousness revolution is the solution for the pollution on all levels, the air, the water, and most importantly, the consciousness. The pollution, solution, revolution. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, speaking of revolution, it's time for prasadam. That is revolution.
That is
the
secret weapon.
That is the secret weapon. Yeah.